You're listening to Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. The time is 6 o'clock. Here's a quick look at traffic and weather. There are no accidents reported. There's just one area of slow traffic. That's on 45, the Gulf Freeway, inbound from Monroe to Broadway. The current temperature is 79 degrees. Skies are clear. Humidity is 90%. There's a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 1 p.m. Today's high will be around 94 degrees and low 77 degrees. Winds are out of the south at 6 miles per hour. Sunrise will be at 6:35 a.m. Sunset at 8:20 p.m. The air quality forecast is not available just yet. We'll check back on that later. Ultraviolet index is in the extreme range. Please stay tuned for So What's Your Story with Lauren Marsalia and Hank Rubicek. Their guest storyteller is Lisa Holland Nelson, president of Content Active. And the theme for today's program is Stories That Empower.
Steamy early Monday morning, and you're in a cool place that will help make everything today seem right, because you've tuned into So What's Your Story, the newest addition to our superb listener-sponsored programs on KPFT 90.1. We're your hosts, Lauren Marsalia and me, Dr. Hank Rubicek, professor of communication at the University of Houston downtown. So What's Your Story puts the spotlight on soul-inspiring tellers, both pros and newbies, some of whom could be you, who engage us with revealing stories and beloved folk tales by taking us, alluring us, on enchanted journeys and then returning us safely to the present. You know, personal narratives often communicate exceptional human experiences, the kind worth noting and applauding. These stories are often garnered by women of great courage who see self-preservation as the primary foundation of virtue. These are women who use obstacles as motivators and restrictions as mechanisms to catapult themselves into greatness. These are women who live by the advice of Nora Ephron. Above all, be the heroine of your life, not the victim. And these women, like our guest, have the stories to prove their grit. Lauren, why don't you tell us about your guest storyteller?
It would be such an honor. The sheer number of achievements make it impossible to adequately introduce Houstonian Lisa Holland Nelson. She is co-founder and president of Content Active, LLC, a leader in web-based systems. Lisa's company is also a six-time recipient of the Houston Business Journal's Fast Tech 50, and in 2010-11 received the Alfred P. Sloan Award for Excellence in the Workplace. Before Houston, she was a management consultant in New York, and held positions in merchandising and marketing with Neiman Marcus and Federated Department Stores. Lisa appeared as the Daybreak News 2 30-second coach on KPRC and served as organizational coach on Dr. Phil's Empowerment Team, which I am excited to ask her about. No stranger to radio, Lisa interviews extraordinary women about what they do and why they do it on the Business Makers Show. Dedicated to education, the arts, and human tolerance, Lisa served as co-chairs to the mayor's Breakfast for Literacy and Aid to Victims of Domestic Abuse. She is also on the boards of the Holocaust Museum, Houston, and Theater Under the Stars. Not surprisingly, she was named one of Houston's most influential women in 2009 by Houston's Women's Magazine. Good morning, Lisa. Welcome to So What's Your Story?
Thank you very much, Lauren. I'm thrilled to be here.
We are so excited to have you here. Lisa, many wise people have said that happiness isn't the absence of problems. It's the ability to deal with them. Your first story reinforces that notion. So, what's your story?
My story is one of true resilience and a little bit of probably naivete. In 2001, before September 11th, in the summer, I was laid off from my favorite job I ever had as an executive search consultant at Heidrick & Struggles, and I was laid off in the third week of June. I was living in Princeton, New Jersey at the time on the East Coast, and my daughter was at her very expensive sleepaway camp, and it was time to pay what I'd like to call her small tuition for seventh grade at her private school in New Jersey. It was $27,000. And I walked into my husband's study in our 7,200 square foot home on 2 acres to tell him that I was going to write a check out of one of Laura's accounts instead of my own because I didn't want to pay any penalties. And he looked up at me and he said, "Well, you can't do that." And I said, "What do you mean I can't do that?" Knowing that she had almost seven figures in assets that I'd been putting together since she was born. At the time, she was 12. And he said, "Well, there's nothing there. You told me I could use this for day trading." And I went, "Huh?" Because I didn't remember telling him he could do that. And so I said, "I'd go to another account." And there was nothing in that one either. And so I stood in his study and discovered that the wealth that I thought I had built and the security that I thought I had built for my daughter, myself, and my husband as well did not exist. And this was around June 22nd, and in the middle of November, Laura's bat mitzvah was scheduled. So I'd love to share the first thing I did upon learning that I basically was broke, thinking I was rich. I was not. I was broke. I went to the phone right away in the first 20 seconds, and I called the rabbi at the Princeton Jewish Center because in my head, I went right to, okay, I've got a bat mitzvah coming. I can't disappoint my child. What am I going to do? Oh my gosh, light bulb. You can read the Torah on Saturday, Monday, or Thursday. So I could move this big Saturday night event that's 3 days of out-of-towners to Monday afternoon, President's Day, and probably save myself two-thirds of the money and plus have an extra 90 days to put it together. I called the rabbi and he said, "Yes, I'll do anything you need me to do." I told him the story of what was going on. And the last question I asked him, he said yes to everything I asked. I wanted to do the afternoon, and I wanted to have all the same people involved, and everything was absolutely fine. My last question, for anyone who really knows about this, my daughter had learned her Torah portion before leaving for sleepaway camp, which was really a big deal. So I asked if she could read the original Torah portion, which was the one of her birth date, and of course he said absolutely not. She had to learn another one. So the big dilemma that I really had on what was probably the worst day of my life was the trauma of telling my child that she was going to have to learn another Torah portion. I went back into the study, and I'd never screamed or yelled or hated my husband at that moment. I just went forward. And I went forward. I also, the other thing I realized at the time was that I'd been laid off and I needed to find a job. So I found a job. I mean, I went out and treated myself as if I was an executive search. I was like the candidate and I was the consultant and I was doing everything. And I actually created a bunch of processes that I've shared as a coach since then. I used myself as the experimental client. And so I started my new job as president of a pretty big apparel company on September 10th, 2001. I'm sure everybody remembers what happened on September 11th, my second day at work. It ended up that the position I'd chosen kind of blew up along with the World Trade Center, and the city of New York was pretty scary, and my husband and I pretty much decided we weren't going to stay together. All of this sort of happened between July and November, and my mother had remarried in May, so she'd been married just a few months, and my stepfather said, he called me one day and he said, "I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse," and I couldn't imagine what that could be. He said, "I want you to sit down right now." And I sat down on the stairs in my kitchen, still in the great big house, and he said, "I want you and Laura to come to Houston, and I'll take care of you. I'll do anything you need to come to, if you'll come to Houston." And I'm going, "What, Houston? What am I going to do in Houston? I've been in New York for 20 years. I'm a merchant. I'm a consultant. I do executive search. I've got incredible clients and people that I'm a trusted advisor to. What am I going to do?" He said, "It doesn't matter what you do." And I'm sure that many of these listeners will remember Post Oak Pharmacy. And my father was one of those people who would pull up at Post Oak Pharmacy on any occasion, and the perfume ladies would run out with perfume and candy for my mother, because of course he'd forgotten whatever it was. And it was kind of a joke in our family, and my stepfather was in on it, and he said, "I don't care if you want to be a perfume lady at Post Oak Pharmacy or you want me to buy it for you. You come home and we'll figure it out. All you have to do is tell me what you want to do." So I said to my then 13-year-old, "Laura, what would you think?" I was thinking we'd move back to Manhattan. "What would you think if we went to Houston?" And she looks at me and she says, "Mother, I know you've stayed in Princeton for 6 years and you really didn't want to be here. I can go to Houston for you," unbeknownst to her. And we went. So off we came to Houston. We landed in Houston in 2002. I came with half of the money from my house, thinking that I would be bankrupt fairly quickly. And instead, here I am 10 years later, partner in an incredible business, on probably 10 boards, a commissioner of the city of Houston, which is probably the most exciting part of what I do, being on the Houston Center for Literacy Commission board. And I'm proud to say I couldn't have done it anywhere else.
You must be very proud of yourself. I couldn't help but think, when you were telling me that story, what would your ex-husband say to you right now if he were listening this very moment?
"Didn't expect anything else." That's what he would have said. I mean, his mother at one point said to me, "You're not taking good enough care of my son." I mean, like, just...
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Stories that empower on So What's Your Story on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. I'm your host, Lauren Marcellia, with Dr. Hank, a few feet away from me, trying to make me nervous, and my guest storyteller, Lisa Holland Nelson, president of CoActive. Lisa, tell us a little bit about CoActive.
Content Active.
Excuse me.
It's okay.
You're nervous, aren't you, Lauren? Yes.
Well, he is trying. He's sitting here. He's making faces at me.
I'm just sitting here being a totally... I'm just so fascinated about the $27,000 for day camp.
So No, that was private school tuition for 8th grade.
Oh, yeah.
7th grade.
Because when I was in camp, Park Synagogue Day Camp, my mother said, $5 for the T-shirt. So when you said $27,000...
Totally relate. Yeah. The summer camp was $10,000, yeah. Which was... it was expensive. I mean, the year she was born, New York Magazine did a story about how expensive it was to raise a girl in Manhattan. I mean, crazy. It was crazy. Anyway, excuse me.
I'm not even sure what I just called it, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about Content Active.
Content Active is Houston's leading web and mobile technology company. We do websites. That's what we really do. And at this time, we're really leading in a new technology called responsive design, which means you can design it once and it works on any device, web or mobile, and any browser. It's really an exciting time. Content Active is really one of the first companies to do responsive design for SharePoint, which is Microsoft's big back-end intranet, extranet, manager, great big enterprise-level business
technology. That's very interesting. Okay, well, Lisa, we're going to explore your incredible drive and energy in just a few moments, but tell our listeners a little bit about your Business Makers show and where and when we can tune in.
The Business Makers is on News 92 FM, and it's heard on Sundays at 12 o'clock. It's also on thebusinessmakers.com 24/7. Our show goes live 8:30 on Saturday mornings. And my segment is called Women Mean Business, Extraordinary Women Doing Extraordinary Things. And it's been my pleasure to interview probably over 100 extraordinary women, a lot of them Houstonians in every walk of life, nonprofit world to the energy world. But I will say that one of my favorite opportunities was interviewing Ann Compton, the White House correspondent for ABC News. And we just had a wonderful interview. She was down here for a luncheon, and when it was over, she said to me, "You know, you have a future in this business." I said, "Ann, I really appreciate it, but I'm only 6 months younger than you, and you're thinking of retiring." And we got to Washington together with the same president, so it may not be a long future, but I absolutely love doing it.
And I kind of been waiting to ask you a little bit about Dr. Phil. Can you tell us a little bit about what he's really like?
You know, I wish I could. He was far more charming than I expected. The team that we put together in Houston was launched right after he launched his empowerment segment, helping people lose weight on national television. So the local Channel 2 put together a group of us. There were five or six of us. I was the life coach, so I was doing everything from dressing them to coaching them to keep their closets clean and all this kind of stuff. But it was very exciting because he did come in for a big conference, and we did get to meet with him. And the surprise to me was he was really good looking in person.
No, he wasn't.
Yes.
No,
yes. He was good looking and in extraordinary shape. Which
really?
Yes. Which I was very surprised at.
Really?
That is a little surprising.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk about his life coaching, was that his organizational coach? Is that what it is?
Sort of, yeah. I was the organizational piece of it. Yeah, I got to do everything from, you know, lay out their wardrobes in Target, as you know, straighten up their closets and talk to their husbands.
That's great. Great.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. I went through a stage with Channel 2 where if they needed a coach for something, since I started as a 30-second coach, they'd call me, and I did everything but dating advice.
Really?
I was never so good at that.
Well, speaking of advice, I mean, you know, our KPFT therapist is Laura Slavin, who is about to tell us about the weather and traffic. I'm sure she has some impending news. Before, Laura, you said that you don't really have any report out there about the air. We can all tell you that it's smothering out there. We were all coughing. I just thought I'd let you know.
Yeah, I was coughing a little bit this morning, too. Must be some pollution in the air. There are no accidents reported this morning. There's a couple of areas of slow traffic. That one of them is on 290 Northwest Freeway outbound from West 34th to Pinemont. And also on 45, the Gulf Freeway inbound from Scott to Allen Parkway. The current temperature is 79 degrees with a few clouds. Humidity is 90%. There's a 30% chance of rain today, mainly after 1 p.m. Today's high temperature will be around 94 and low 77. Please stay tuned after So What's Your Story for Whole Mother with Pat Jones. Her guest today is Rowanna Rosewood, and she's the author of the Amazon bestseller Cut, Stapled, and Mended. And she's also the co-founder and host of Birth Plan Radio. So now back to So What's Your Story with Lauren Marsalia and Hank Rubicek and their guest, Lisa Holland Nelson.
Lisa, your next story is about motherhood in the 21st century, and I know you were sharing that with us a little bit before the show, and it was fascinating because it's really more about parenthood of the 21st century because of some of the sort of generic things that you're about to talk to us about that alter the concept of parenting. Does that make sense?
Well, yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit. That's pretty fascinating. Tell us about this.
Well, what I started to talk about was being a single mother in the 21st century, but I realized that there's so many, and I have two single dads in my company, and so being a single parent is such a different dynamic with workplace flexibility and technology and all the opportunities that we have today. It's just really different than even when I started being a single parent 11 years ago. Times have really changed. When I was growing up in the 20th century, not the 21st century, I don't think I knew anyone whose mother actually worked. I know this sounds really weird, but I mean, nobody's mother worked. Nobody's parents got divorced. The most embarrassing thing in my life was that my father was an entrepreneur and didn't work at a bank. So we had dinner at 8 o'clock at night instead of at 6, like all of my friends. I mean, it was very Ozzie and Harriet or Father Knows Best. And, somehow or another, I expected to grow up and have that life, to go to college. I went to college for an MRS. I mean, for those of you who don't know what that means, I went to get married, to find a husband. Shocked when I graduated, as did most of my pledge sisters. We were all surprised. Went to work, I did get married, but I didn't stay married. I did the exact opposite of all of my friends. I mean, I don't have any friends who really got divorced either. So it's odd. And if they did, they got divorced after their children went to college. So off I went to New York. I had this great big career for 20 years. I spent 40% of my time traveling the world in the fashion business. It was really amazing. I mean, when people watch The Devil Wears Prada, the movie, they'll say to me, was that your life? And I go, yes, except I wouldn't have gotten out of the car like Anne Hathaway did. I knew everybody wanted to be us. Right. I mean, it was a fabulous life. I mean, you know, we were exhausted and crazy on purpose. And we knew how important turquoise was, I will tell you. We did. But so meanwhile, fast forward, have a baby at 40, 41, like in the middle of a big career, and nothing changed in my life when I became a mother. I could afford help 24/7, and I had it. And I know if you were listening to my first story, everybody kind of knows life changed when she was 13. So what was I going to do? I came to Houston, and all of a sudden, it was the 21st century, and I am a single parent or a single mom. And not only was I was that without the resources I was used to having, and I had no co-parent.
Let me ask you a really pointed question. I'm curious about this. We come from the same generation.
Yes.
And for all of you listening, it's not that old. Okay,
we're not the greatest generation.
We still have our teeth and everything else. It's amazing. But is there anything that has really become better in the 21st century? What is one thing? Just give me one thing, Lisa, that you think has really become better. I mean, you talk about the father knows best life, and I remember watching Leave It to Beaver, and of course, what always bothered me is that Ward always had his shirt and tie on, even when he was mowing the lawn. That always bothered me. But what is one thing, in your opinion, that is better now?
This is going to sound really crazy, because people hear me say I want to turn everything off, but truly technology is really better, and it really does allow you to stay connected to your children without having to be there all the time.
Yeah.
So I think technology has made life easier for a single parent.
Yeah, that's a great point. I always talk about my grandson. If it wasn't for Skype, you know, I don't know what I would do. But of course, whenever we're on Skype, he takes his remote and he tries to tune me out. Bye! Bye! Well, wait a minute. We just got on. Bye! Bye! And when he drops it, his next favorite word is, and then he picks it up and tries to tune me out.
That's so cute.
I know.
Yeah, I had an interesting point about being a single parent also in technology. My parents got divorced when I was in middle school, and one of the first things that my dad decided to get us were cell phones. And that was such a big deal to my sister and I, because no one had cell phones in middle school. But the whole point was, you know, he wanted to stay in contact with us.
That had to be tragic.
Oh, God, it was horrible.
Yes. Yeah.
But technology was advanced enough so that he could always know that we, you know, where we were.
That was really the beginning, because I remember getting Laura, my daughter Laura is the same age as you are, Lauren, and she was supposed to get a cell phone, I think, for her 12th birthday or maybe even her bat mitzvah. And I remember getting her one at 10 because I was getting worried about her father's behavior.
Right.
So that was the beginning of it. But keeping in touch with her was really, really important to me.
I can only imagine as a single mother it would be. So, Lisa, in a sentence or two, what's the primary lesson you want mothers to get from your story?
Honestly, the primary lesson is probably that you can't do it all. You can do everything one thing at a time, but you don't have to do it all. And I think the most important thing that I learned through all of this was learning to listen to my child, listen to the teachers, listen to the other parents, be engaged, be part of everything. At the same time, I was putting food on the table. And putting food on the table takes at least 50% of your life and maybe more. So you kind of have to give yourself a break for that.
Well, thank you for that. That's pretty motivational, actually, for a lot of the single mothers that are listening today. You're such a courageous woman. And Coco Chanel was speaking about you when she said, "The most courageous act is still to think for yourself." This is Lauren Marcellia and Dr. Hank, and you are tuned into So What's Your Story with guest teller Lisa Holland Nelson on KPFT 90.1 Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, 89.7 in Huntsville, and 90.3 in Livingston.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. Yeah, it really was a very fascinating story and very motivational, and it's important to have those kind of stories now. Personal narratives are designed to do that, and you do that so well. And they really are stories about parenting in many ways, because one of the things that I've learned as a man is that in the 21st century, parenting is just, it's a very, very generic sort of non-genderized phenomena. You have to be a good parent. And I think there's a lot of good things about that. The court systems are more sensitive mm-hmm. about men and fathers, and they're more discerning about what a really good parent is. But the traits that you talk about, the kind of tenaciousness, the kind of consistency that you talk about, Lisa, are very admirable, and they really are very admirable. And your stories are magnificent because they're very detailed, and you're so animated, and you're dynamic. And one of the wonderful things about radio is that you can really hear that animation and that dynamism which you offer, and I love that. I have one of my favorite writers is Dorothy Parker, as I'm sure you know about Dorothy Parker.
Of course.
She's just magnificent, and she always included profound messages in her writing. And from her book of poems, this one seems especially relevant right now. But now I know the things I know, and do the things I do. And if you do not like me so, then my love, the hell with you. I just thought I'd share that with you, a little bit of a humorous topspin, which is also extraordinarily meaningful. You know, success really is about self-confidence and an intense belief in yourself. And I know that you were the 32nd coach on KPRC, so let us put you on the spot. You know what I'm going to ask you, I'm sure. What 32nd advice do you have for women who are searching for inner strength to overcome their own obstacles? Now, don't force me to sing the Jeopardy song. You've got 30 seconds.
I think you should always think of obstacles in the sense of opportunities. Don't ever ask for help. Ask for advice on which opportunity you should pursue.
I love
That's probably the most important advice I
That's
can give.
That's great. Ask for advice,
ask
not
for
answers. I love it.
Everyone's willing to help you. Everybody wants to give you advice. Nobody wants to fix your life.
That's a great tip. That is a great tip.
Thank you.
You know, we give tips too on Tips for Telling, a quirky little segment when we learn something about storytelling by answering a question sent to us by a listener. And Lauren, whose question are we answering this morning?
We are answering a question from Barbara in Houston. Barbara asks, I love So What's Your Story? And especially all I'm learning about storytelling. Can you suggest some good books on learning to tell stories well? Thank you, Barbara, for those kind words. Tell everyone you know about the show. There are a ton of books on learning to tell engaging stories with confidence, passion, and style. A few books that we recommend focus on the generic formulas that can make any story effective. The short list includes Improving Your Storytelling by Doug Lippen, Inviting the Wolf In by Lauren Niemi and Elizabeth Ellis, Story Catcher, Making Sense of Our Lives Through the Power and Practice of Story by Christina Baldwin, The Art of Storytelling by Nancy Mellon, and there's got to be one more on this list. Oh, that's right. It's So What's Your Story? Discovering the Story in You by Dr. Hank Rubichek.
Thank you. Thank you, Lauren, for remembering that. I appreciate it.
Anyways, Barbara, go to the KPFT archives and scroll to this segment to hear the sources again. Thank you for your terrific question. If you have any questions about crafting or telling a story, send them to Ruby, that's ruby.story@gmail.com. And if you want to be a guest on So What's Your Story, and we hope you do, send your ideas on or short description of your story to the same address, ruby.story@gmail.com. Stories must be told in 4 to 6 minutes, so let us hear from you, because your stories really should be heard.
Or come to the Houston Storytellers Guild and check out our site, www.houstonstorytellers.org, for all the fun happenings. You guys did a great job, and I can't thank you enough. Thank you. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for serving as my co-host. You did a great job, Lauren. And next time, do it yourself so I can sleep in. And to all of you, make KPFT a part of your day every day and join me every Monday at 6 a.m. for So What's Your Story? And start your week right and expect a smooth one to follow. I'm Dr. Hank Rubichek with Lauren
Marcellia.
And I'm
Lauren Marcellia.
And it is never too late
to live happily ever after.
Be good to each other. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
2008, veterans and active duty service members joined together to form March Forward. March Forward's aim is to unite all those who have served and who currently serve in the U.S. military. March Forward organizes against war while fighting for social and economic justice at home, including the struggle against all forms of discrimination. March Forward operates based on the belief that real change comes through mass action. You can learn more about March Forward, its campaigns, conscientious objection, and much more at marchforward.org. You are listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1, KPFT.org.